If you're looking for somebody to switch you right back.
We're back.
Give me a beat.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Snapped. As usual, I'm your host, Pete.
And I'm Paul.
And this is your weekly dissection of music's greatest hits, hidden gems, and cultural resets. Each week, we dive deep into a different album to try and convince you that they truly snapped. Today, we are doing a very different type of album. An edgy rock album, some might say. Ashley Tisdale's 2009 magnum opus, Guilty Pleasure.
That's right, Pete. And what a guilty pleasure this album is. Okay, so this is actually Ashley Tisdale's second studio album, coming out on the 11th of June 2009, hot off the heels of her debut album Headstrong in February of 2007.
And Headstrong is another incredible album, but I would have to argue that this is definitely her best output.
Guilty Pleasure isn't actually Ashley's final album, though. She took a 10-year hiatus just to soak in the mastery of Guilty Pleasure before she released her third album, Symptoms, in 2019, leaning more into a folk indie pop vibe than the rest of her work. Ashley herself notes about Guilty Pleasure. She was working on the second album for about a year, and it's something completely different from the first album. Doing the first album is a lot about learning about yourself. I had to get to know what I like. Even though I knew I wanted to do something pop and R&B, I went for more of a rock sound. I'm 23 now, so I'm growing up, and I wanted something more mature and edgier. I'm starting to show a side of myself that people don't know, and boy, did she do that.
Both of Ashley's albums actually have very apt names.
Totally. Guilty Pleasure is very tongue-in-cheek for me, because it's showing she's aware she isn't a main pop girl, but she does make some underground bops and somewhat cheesy songs about breaking up and self-love, and also hints a lot around why she takes men back even when they're horrible to her. Looking at some of the interviews where Ashley's talking about the album title, it's quite difficult to know what she's trying to convey. With it, she just says that it's a guilty pleasure, and maybe it's our understanding to work out what that means.
For me, it was definitely a guilty pleasure. I wasn't out when I first listened to it, and I couldn't put a finger on why I absolutely adored it. And I think my brain wanted me to think that I fancied Ashley, and that's why I loved all these songs about boys and about being a rock chick and being obsessed with her brunette hair. But there was definitely another reason for that.
Yeah, she made this album for the fun fashion friends and the girlies who wanted to ruin men. And I think that definitely is a theme throughout the album. But the title track itself is actually a Japanese bonus track, and it's so difficult to find in the modern streaming age, other than maybe if you look it up on YouTube.com. This shows that Ashley actually saw this as a concept of the album, rather than just the name of a song that she liked and then pulled for the title track. So I think Guilty Pleasure is more the theme or motif for the entire track list.
I always found that strange when artists put their title track as a bonus or target / Japanese bonus track. It definitely reeks of studio / manager meddling, where you have a concept and you give it to their label and they just go, no, that one's not really part of the vibe, but you've actually built the album around it. It must be quite an awkward conversation to have, but from looking at the documentary where Ashley is very polite, very demure with the people she's working with, I think she was probably like, yeah, sounds cool.
She seems really agreeable about the direction of this album. She's definitely involved, but led, as you say, by the label or her manager. When Ashley's talking about the album, one of the key motifs running through it is about survival, whether that be in heartbreak or things that happen at home or when you're growing up. And that versus Guilty Pleasure, kind of different. But maybe these songs are the guilty pleasure that gets her or other people through hard times, breakups, and showing the positive side of something quite negative. And I think that maybe is more where that fits in with the overall theme of the album. And actually, speaking of bonus tracks, trying to piece together the full track list of this album is harder than collecting all of the Infinity Stones. It would actually require an international jet-setting adventure from your house all the way to Germany and then Japan, as well as visiting the iTunes store to nab some of the other exclusives.
I believe in total there's 5 tracks that aren't on the album, not counting the 2 bonus tracks which are on every release of the album, so I don't understand how they're a bonus track.
How can they be a bonus track if they're literally on the standard edition of every album? I don't know what that's about.
And one of them ends up being a single. The whole rollout is mess. It also leaked.
It definitely feels like she needed to update her Norton antivirus because the hackers were out and about trying to get some of those bonus tracks.
Who knows? They might have snatched it as a USB out of her purse at the High School Musical 3 premiere. In comparison to this second album, Headstrong was more of a traditional pop debut for a Disney girl coming off of the success of High School Musical and hitting both demographics also by being in Phineas and Ferb. I believe Disney wanted to sell her as another Hannah Montana-esque chart, not exactly topping, but chart placing.
Chart middling.
Chart middling princess of pop. I think her first album is very inspired by Sharpay, actually, from High School Musical, with a blonde, sassy, boys suck, get your lip gloss girls kind of message. Very inspired by Britney's Baby One More Time, palatable, girly girl era.
The similarities to Baby One More Time are all throughout the entire album. Even one of the songs starts with the phone ringing. It's very akin to a lot of the songs from the back end of Britney's first album. And it is also very Hannah Montana 2, where Headstrong is like the first disc, and then Guilty Pleasure is more her Meet Miley Cyrus rock era on that dual disc. And I think you make such a good point. It is just a carbon copy. If you were making a Disney girl in a factory, Headstrong would be the album that they would make. And that's not to say it doesn't have some incredible bops and bangers. He Said, She Said slaps, but it doesn't feel as unique as I think Guilty Pleasure is. Ashley's actually very ahead of her time. On Headstrong, she has a song called Don't Touch, in parentheses, the Zoom song. Now, Don't Touch and Zoom? She was 2 decades ahead of her time. She said, COVID, I see you, and I've got a bop for you. That could be like the first step of a vaccination program.
We need to use those long striped socks to make masks for the frontline workers.
Oh my god, those are iconic.
From one iconic album cover to another. If you don't know the cover of Guilty Pleasure, you need to go to google.com, not sponsored, and type in Guilty Pleasure, and even type in Guilty Pleasure Deluxe. Both are giving all your slightly emo tween persona wants to see. Miss Tisdale strutted down to Superdrug and grabbed the brunette hair dye that changed the world. This was a clear fuck you to the persona she was handed for Headstrong. She wanted to be different. She was clearly told to be blonde, to be different to Vanessa Hudgens, and instead, for her second album, took things into her own hands. The whole cover reeks of angst, MySpace, edgy, Rar XD, Avril Lavigne, and I eat it up every time.
The font specifically is grunge. That's the only word I can use to describe it. Like, if you type in grunge fonts, first one she clicked it, she hit download, and she said, let's go. Put it on the album cover, put it on the billboards. There's just something so 2000s angst about this entire album, but it still doesn't age.
It's funny, as we record these episodes, we're sensing a pattern with the albums that we're drawn to, with the first episode being so clearly a right turn for Taylor to go into her Reputation era. Same with Gaga and art pop changing the direction of her career. There's something so brave, and I think that resonates a lot with gay people. Having these strong, powerful women be told what they are to be and then subverting it and ultimately creating their best record.
100%. This is the Reputation era that preceded having Reputation eras.
Sharpay Evans can't come to the phone right now. Why? Oh, because she's dead.
While she can't come to the phone right now, you better pick up your phone and go visit these sponsors after our quick ad break.
Are you looking for somebody to switch it like that? To keep you on track? Or even just to answer right back? Well, you don't have to keep on looking no more. With your help, we can bring her back. Hashtag Get I'm Back on Spotify today.
Wow. That was so moving. And speaking of a moving ballad, Ashley dropped the first single from her second album, Guilty Pleasure, It's Alright, It's Okay, on the 14th of April 2009, and invented rock music.
This is an incredible song with a mediocre music video.
The song's a very stereotypical mid-2000s breakup song, all about moving past boys. It's gonna be alright, it's gonna be okay, the concept of the song is. But the music video itself is very low budget, economical. Unsure how to describe it. It is very Home Bargains, Avril Lavigne, trashing up a house because a boy is awful to you. So the music video begins and we see Ashley looking through her boyfriend's phone. She sees a message that says, well, he just shows her the phone and it says, last night was so amazing.
He is literally texting on his Sony Ericsson right in front of her at the breakfast table. Photoshopped on is a text, last night was fun. Ashley is not happy.
She's throwing things, she's crying, she's angsty, and she's not all right. She is not okay. This boy is a douche. So Ashley says, let me walk down. I'm going to buy from Kodak a digital camera. I'm going to take photos of three actors I can find kissing on me on the cheek. And then I'm going to leave it for the boy to find.
One of them is literally, she's writing them.
Oh, they're salacious. She's in her whole era. But she literally gets revenge on this man by kissing three different people and then holding a house party at his home where she's singing at the pool in front of maximum 10 people. And then it's supposed to convey that she's trashed his house with this massive party, but really there's two tables overturned and that's the height of it.
That is an iconic montage where there's one table, one chair in this completely empty staged house overturned.
There's like a hard zoom into like a sticky ring on a table and it's like, oh my God, I'll never be able to get that out.
Not a sticky ring.
Oh, well, there were some sticky rings after the guys watched the music video.
But you need to tell them about the iconic fuck you of the last frame.
Right, so the music video literally ends with her leaving him the camera with a sticky note that says, it's all right, it's okay. Which is A, amazing promo, and B, really a bad message. Why does it not say, last night was so fun, winky face? There's so many, like, better zingers that she could have given him.
A lot of the documentary for the album is taken up with this cold video shoot for the music video where they're grabbing random AD and directors, lighting people to try and hype up the video. Ashley herself really can't be arsed. She is cold, she's standing in the pool, she can't even remember her bandmates' names.
No, she literally turns to the director and she's all, this pool was supposed to be heated and it's freezing. She's not happy. She wants out of there. But the best fact about it all is the music video was shown in 6,600 movie theaters across the United States.
I wonder what movies it was shown before.
I think we can credit Ashley for the raging success of Avatar, pushing it to the number one all-time best grossing movie because it was shown definitely before that. Can you imagine Ashley Tisdale as an Avatar performing this song?
I just want to see her rock out in 3D before Avatar.
Not the IMAX. That'd be so cool.
Okay, so the second single weirdly didn't come out for another 6 months, where Ashley and her label decided to release a bonus track that was performing well in Germany, Crank It Up, on the 16th of October 2009.
And did she crank it up?
She definitely didn't shoot up the chart, but she definitely was shooting up on set, because this music video is set in the dirtiest drug den.
Big girl walking down the dirty street, walking down in all these dirty feet.
It's an abandoned building, one of those TikTokers who go and explore haunted houses. Ashley was already filming her music video 3 floors up.
The iconic shots of the music video, which have permeated pop culture, have a bizarrely blonde Ashley with furry black angel wings, feathers molting all over the dirty rug, which is iconic and has a very Can't Be Tamed-esque silhouette. And then all she does is walk back and forth up and down a corridor, giving the Shining tease.
It does give very fallen angel imagery, which I love, especially because she does have the blonde hair, weirdly. So it's almost like, okay, she's fallen down from her pop princess era, but then all she does is stomp up and down a hallway and grab a man's shirt.
The scenes where she's partying, she is gripping onto that man for dear life. And the party is again 5 people. Probably all of them are people who work on the set.
While the music video isn't the best, the song itself though really does go off. It is such a good pop song.
If there's at least one song you listen to from this album to convince yourself to listen to the rest, after finishing this episode, of course, go to Spotify and type in Crank It Up, because this needs to be added to your Prees playlist right now.
She's channeling her inner Britney. It's definitely an offcut from something like Blackout that is just pure pop. It's laced with something. Not going to say what, but it is so good, and it just is a party anthem.
The bridge is incredible. The pacing of the song, it's just pop perfection, and I truly can't comprehend that people haven't heard this song. It's so good.
Despite it being so good, the locals let it flop, and that was the end of the campaign for Guilty Pleasure. But if we were creating an ideal third single, what do you think would have worked? What would you have pulled from?
Well, following the success of Avatar after Ashley's promotion through her music videos, the second highest grossing movie of all time, Aliens in the Attic, featuring Ashley Tisdale, actually has one of her iconic songs called Switch. And I remember seeing Aliens in the Attic in cinemas, and when the movie goes to black and the credits come up, you know Switch is playing and everyone is glued to their seats. It's kind of like a Marvel movie waiting for the post-credit scene. Everyone waited until the last beat of Switch because it's so good. It's her verse anthem.
Why did she leave all the good songs for the bonus tracks? I don't understand. It really doesn't make sense.
Her label said they're trash, put them as bonus tracks, and then they went, oops, our bad, promote them both.
She really should have switched some of these songs onto the main album, because there are some skips on there.
Well, speaking of flops, why don't we play a little game of snapped or flopped? In this segment, we like to pick some of our faves and least faves from the album and kind of sell or trash them depending on what mood we're in. So why don't you take us through the first one, Paul?
Okay, I've got a good snapped for you, and we're still on bonus tracks because this album has so many good bonus tracks, and it is I'm Back. For me personally, this should have been the lead single of this album because it's literally Ashley saying she's back. And after the fans were demanding a second album from Headstrong, this would have been such an amazing start to the era.
Some of you who have already rushed to Spotify to stream the entire album will be shocked and horrified to find out that I'm Back doesn't exist on Spotify and doesn't exist on iTunes either. And I think that is a war crime.
Clap if you care. Clap if you care.
We need to campaign. All the Snap listeners need to tweet at Warner Brothers Music to hit upload and give us the song, because it just really is probably the best song of the entire album.
The song I'm Back encapsulates everything she's trying to sell us throughout the entire rollout of the album. It's showing she's back with a vengeance. She's not who you want her to be. She's not the palatable girl next door. She wants to stomp on you, and she wants to put her cigarette butt out on a boy's head. And I volunteer as tribute.
It's so good. And like, for a bit of context, it did leak before everything else on this album and really felt like it was going to be the first single. I'm not sure whether maybe that was part of the reason why it wasn't, because it already had been put out there for everyone to listen to. So I don't know why they thought maybe it wouldn't chart, it wouldn't read as well. And so they just took it away, which is so horrifying if that's the reason.
One of the most iconic lines of the entire album comes from this song, where Ashley intimates that she's going to say the word shit because she's a girl who don't take no shh. And I actually heard a rumor that when she first recorded her almost saying the word shit, a slight crack appeared on Walt Disney's frozen corpse, because that one syllable changed the entire direction for all the Disney girls.
Why is Walt Disney's corpse frozen?
Do you not know that rumor?
That he's frozen?
Yes, underneath Disney World.
Is that what the reason for the Frozen movie is? I don't understand.
No, not the segue. apparently he like invested a lot in being cryogenically frozen.
Right.
So apparently he's frozen somewhere.
What? He should have invested a lot more into Ashita's music career and less into Hocus Pocus. Not the movie, but just, this is insane. I did not know this.
That's why she went to the attic to get the aliens to get rid of him.
Not Aliens in the Attic and Frozen Walt Disney Below Cinderella Castle. The sequel. Right, okay, no more of this.
Walt Disney will be streaming I'm Back when he defrosts.
Walt Disney will be sending us a cease and desist once he hears our slander.
Not you finding out that Walt Disney is frozen because Ashley nearly said shit.
She...
Please.
Oh my god, no, I did not. I honestly didn't even know that was a thing. I'm gonna have to look that one up. I've been to Disneyland and I didn't realize I was walking over a tombstone.
Well, if the one song you're gonna look up on Spotify is Crank It Up, the one song you need to look up on YouTube is I'm Back. It is a musical masterpiece and is a blueprint for how you come back and reinvent yourself. I think Taylor did listen to it. A Snapped for me has to be the very first track on the album. In a similar vein to I'm Back, Acting Out is an incredible beginning to the album, talking about how she's not going to live in this cage where she has to be a goody two shoes, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't wear short skirts. But for me, the most iconic part of the whole song is the conductor tapping at the very start. It just brings me into the world of Guilty Pleasure every time. That little tick, tick, tick.
It's kind of iconic to say that you're about to produce an orchestral masterpiece. And Ashley really delivers with this song. It's very Piece of Me.
It's very Break Free Ariana.
It's just a rebellious song showing her full intention. It also gives me Demi La La Land tease. It's very that energy of just not conforming, breaking the rules, and symbolizes what the album is about probably most succinctly out of all the songs.
It does the best thing that a first song can do. When you open the album, you don't want to hit shuffle because you want to hear Acting Out first.
The last recipient of a coveted Snapped is Hot Mess. And what a song, what a song. In a similar vein to Acting Out, it is an anthem of just living your best life, growing up and being in your mid-20s, being able to drink and just going out and having a good time with your friends. Your bra might end up somewhere else, but your bops will stay on this album.
The second crack on Walt Disney's frozen corpse appeared when Ashley sings on this song that she gets speeding tickets.
She's running around like a misfit.
When I first went to uni in Glasgow, I went to an iconic gay night called Hot Mess, and I was horrified to find out that they didn't once play Hot Mess by Ashita Steele.
No, I think there were worse things going on than just getting a speeding ticket there.
Was definitely acting just like a misfit.
Oh, well, rolling around without new bras on there. Mesh tops were on, but not Hot Mesh.
Such a hot mesh with you.
it's a feel-good song. You stick it on, you have a good time. Does what it says on the tin, but it is such a bop.
While this album is pretty much perfect, there are one or two songs that kind of flopped. And I'm going to have to start with one which is contentious between us because I know you like it, but Hair by Ashley Tisdale completes a trifecta of pop queens who have songs I hate about hair. And I will fight people in the mentions. Gaga, Hair, Ariana, My Hair, and Ashley, Hair, are all bad.
What about Hair featuring Sean Paul from Little Mix?
Who?
Man? No. But what do you not like about Hair?
Every other song seems like it fits the narrative and has a clear perspective, or even just fits the persona of who she's trying to sell us in this album. Whereas I think Hair sounds like a headstrong offcut where she's twirling her blonde hair for the boys. Whereas I think Guilty pleasure, Ashley doesn't give a fuck. She's had her Schwarzkopf. She's brunette. She just doesn't want to impress people with her hair. She's being rebellious. And I expected the song to be about subverting expectations and giving a fuck you, but no, it's very, I like when boys like touch my hair. No.
I don't read it like that for me personally. I see it as like she wants to get bent over, hair pulled, rough, in the drug den from Crank It Up music video. It's very nasty to me. It's much more on the ilk of being sexual and naughty. It's very provocative for me, which I like in this album.
That is true. Unfortunately for me, even sonically, the song is so remedial compared to everything else. I just find myself skipping it because I want to bop. I don't want to shimmy.
It's also positioned between Erase and Rewind and Delete You, which are both really big production numbers, and hair does feel production wise a bit lacking in comparison. So I think it being unflopped, I'll accept, but I don't fully agree. What we might be able to agree on though is that not all the bonus tracks are as good as I'm Back or Guilty Pleasure, because there is a random Katy Perry influenced Time's Up, which appears on the iTunes Store version of the album. This song was originally recorded for Katy Perry's debut album, One of the Boys. And thankfully she said, Ashley, you can have this one. It's not my favorite. It is very clunky on the ears. The production is bad overall. And I'm really glad she decided to just throw it on iTunes and hope three people will buy it. It's not very good for me. On YouTube, you can find people stitching together Katy's demo with the original version. Neither of them are good. It's just a really random song that I didn't actually realize existed until really recently. The time was up for this song and I really don't want to hear it again. It's the only really true bad song from the album for me.
The only other song on the original album that I think is a skip is Me Without You. I'm not a ballad girl at the best of times, and there are actually some ballads on the album that are vocally very good. Don't know about the content, but Me Without You is just a bit boring. It's not bad, it's just not up to the caliber of the rest of the album. I don't know what you think.
It's also not my favourite. It's probably my biggest skip. If we're going off of that, it would be one I wouldn't listen to very much. And unlike Time's Up, it had the misfortune of actually being on the album. So a lot more people listened to it, a lot more people dug into it. As she talks about it on the documentary, more being a love song to herself and saying, like, what would I be without you? And that's cute, but it doesn't really go anywhere production-wise. And if you remember on the documentary, there's this completely other final verse where she just belts it out. That's nowhere to be seen on this recording. So it feels like something production-wise, they decided to cut it back. It feels like a different song than she originally tried to make. And I do think that comes across on the final listen.
Yes, for sure. And this is one of the handful of songs that she actually wrote herself or co-wrote.
Right. With a group of at least five other people. But that's not she to Ashley. It's not for everybody. But I think if you look at the songs that she did co-write, other than What If for me, they are at the bottom end of the album, and it makes sense that they didn't pick a song that she co-wrote as a single, because they are slightly more immature than some of the other songs and they have less of a full complete message.
Speaking of skips, get ready to skip 15 seconds ahead after we get through these commercial messages.
Feeling constipated? Too much gluten and not enough tootin'? Erase and Unbind is the laxative that you've been waiting for. Erase and Unbind help me find me without poo, and it can do the same for you. On sale now at all local pharmacies, online retailers, and in public bathrooms. Note that these have not been officially signed off by the Medicines and Healthcare or the FDA, and some side effects may include entering your rock era, growing feathered wings, and severe boppage. Take your own risk.
Stop skipping ahead, it's time for the Snappies.
Woo!
The first Snappy Award of tonight is for Cringiest Line. And of course, I had to pick my enemy of the pod, Hair, with this nugget of wisdom. You get my ponytail beside my bangs unlockable. But I don't mind, because I think it's kind of super cool. Hair, 2009. Now, I don't know what Hair has an unlockable ponytail beside bangs, but I don't want to see it. And Also, Ashley's so non-committal when she says it's cool because she says it's kind of super cool. So I don't think she's actually into it. I think she's doing it for a man, and I don't respect that either.
Okay, moving on to the second snappy of the night for weirdest fact. Now, when I was doing my intensive research on some very reputable sources, I did notice that on Wikipedia, it's noted that the album ranked number 7 on Billboard's reader poll for album of the decade and best album of 2009. I couldn't verify this information elsewhere, but I also couldn't disprove it, which means that in some universe, in like the Schrodinger's cat universe, there's a potential that this is the best album of 2009. I personally think it is, so I'm gonna go with that. But maybe a more personal one for myself, my first ever Facebook post was actually written in 2009 and was me asking Ashley Tisdale on a live chat to bring the Guilty Pleasure Tour to Belfast. She did, spoiler alert, she did not come. She didn't actually leave the mid-USAs because they only had strip malls for her to go to. She did not sell out anything. She sold out of Macy's, but that was about it, unfortunately.
The next award is for Ugliest Merch. And sadly, because we just found out Ashley didn't take the transatlantic flight to Belfast to sell us her merch, the fact is that there is no merch. In her whole career, I could find 3 official t-shirts, and they all look like they're from Headstrong. However, I trawled the internet and I came across a lot of Yummy Mummy couponing sites all talking about a Guilty Pleasure party pack, which you could request for free for your children. And each pack came with 5 Ashley Berry lip glosses, 15 to 20 Guilty Pleasure posters, 5 sticker packs, 1 CD.
So many posters.
And 1 note from Ashley. Now, there's a lot to unpack here. First point being, I couldn't find Ashley Berry lip glosses anywhere. They must have been high in demand. Second point, how many friends do you have that you want to give them 15 to 20 Guilty Pleasure posters? Fair enough, we all need to buy the album. But if you're giving us 1 CD for free, something doesn't add up there. This is like a Maz question.
What do you think the note from Ashley said? It's alright, it's okay.
It probably contained a plea to buy more copies of the album.
Okay, over to best live performance, and the snappy here is well earned. Now, she didn't really go on a tour, but what she did do was show up at the Progressive Skating and Gymnastics Spectacular 2009 with a full set list in what I can only describe to be the most deranged set of performances I've ever seen. For context, before you go on YouTube and look it up, because you must, this is some sort of crossover event between ice skating and gymnastics that I didn't know there was a demand for. But it features Ashley blonde-haired standing at the edge of an ice rink with gymnasts just twirling, doing back handsprings to all the songs from the album. But specifically, the one from Hot Mess is a must-watch in performance art.
It can only be described as an acid trip. We watched it the other night and I have literally never laughed so much. It is so bizarre. And when you think it's going to stop being weird, it ramps it up. Ashley is just off on the side, very ASMR singing Hot Mess. She can barely be heard throughout the whole stadium. But the 3 gymnasts are giving you storyline. They're giving you shapes. They're giving you body positivity. The whole performance is insane and I can't wait to watch it again.
There's some sort of love triangle. It's more impactful than Twilight even, because this young female gymnast is being thrown around between these 2 boys. The storyline is quite obscure. It's avant-garde.
You're not going to get it the first time you hear it.
You're not going to get it the first time you watch it. There's so much subtext in there all about infidelity, gymnastics, heartbreak, and love. And it is a must watch. Ashley's vocals themselves, she clearly hadn't been singing in quite a while, unfortunately. They are pitchy, but she's watching a love story. I think one of the best parts about it is that dichotomy between Hot Mess being about going out, having a good time with your friends, and then this love story intrigue going on the other side. If it was What If or one of the ballads, understood, but Hot Mess is probably the best way to describe what we were watching.
they needed to crank it up on the amp because the tens of people in the audience could not hear what she was saying. They were probably starstruck watching the physical feats in front of them.
There's another one later on, I think it's to What If, where there's both ice skating masterclass. Someone's getting like the headbanger move done. Someone else is on a trapeze. Someone's on a balance beam. I don't know what the concept is, but it's literally my new favorite thing. I wonder, was there a progressive skating and gymnastics spectacular in 2022? And if so, who performed at it?
Our final award of the night is for Best Look. This is a difficult one again, because a lot of Ashley's styling in this era can only be described as vile. However, I am partial to a particular promo image of Ashley where she is stomping on a dollhouse. She's dressed in a black puffy skirt with a big, bold black belt and calf-level stockings. She's giving edgy dominatrix stomping on the worthless Disney dollhouse. The video of her stomping and kicking this poor, defenseless house have definitely been viewed millions of times on various fetish websites. It is camp personified.
She is the third cock destroyer in this video. For sure. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have for this Snappies today. So we're going to head back to the studio and wrap up Guilty Pleasure.
So Paul, where does this fit tonally in her discography?
Ashley's body of work consists of a lot of different eras and genres, even visually. We've already talked a little bit about her first album, Headstrong, in 2007, which is a bit more bubblegum, tween pop star energy. And then Symptoms, which comes out in 2019, again, prophesizing the pandemic with an electro indie pop vibe.
Something's not clicking with Symptoms for me. I remember when I saw it in my release radar, I was shocked because this was 2019. A 10-year anniversary was coming for Guilty Pleasure, and I thought, oh my god, she is back. I'm back. 2019.
But for me and the three people who are listening who are big Hilary Duff fans will know that before her comeback in 2015 with Breathe In, Breathe Out, she released two folk pop songs, Chasing the Sun and All About You, which I thought were incredible. But it feels like Ashley thought, oh, they sound really good, let me put a full album of those out. And I don't feel like they fit her voice or her tone as much. And they don't have a lot of ebbs and flows and any differentiating factors between the songs, which makes the whole album, which is only 33 minutes, feel slow.
But there is one more diamond in the rough when looking at her discography. And I would defy anyone listening to know what we're talking about. But, Paul?
The iconic Degree Girl OMG Jams EP, which is a mouthful to say, should have been the third studio album instead. These are a collection of covers of some iconic songs that left even Whitney Houston rolling in her grave. I Wanna Dance With Somebody, Ashley's version, is significantly better than the superior, and I will not tolerate any exception to that. And she even rickrolled everybody when she put on Never Gonna Give You Up on the EP, which actually wasn't even a rickroll until 2009 when she released this EP. That's not even made up. She genuinely, for me, invented the Rickroll by making this song popular again. Now, you might be wondering, Paul, this isn't on iTunes. This isn't on Spotify. This might not even be on YouTube. What do you mean? No, this EP was only available to download via a code given on a deodorant.
I kinda like the smell. Remind me of high school gym class.
Cut.
That could then be entered on the company's website to download the songs. And they're all so good.
Not the scavenger hunt to try and find her doing covers.
And I would do it again. I would love to hear a 2022 version of this album where she takes more classics. I just remember the night that we were on the phone and I was telling you about this album and you did not even believe me that this existed. This was a fever dream.
We're going to have to post the album cover because it is so, again, iconic. Like, everything Ashley touches pre-2019 is iconic.
That is honestly so true. She doesn't put a foot wrong. The only things I could see about this EP online were that it was absolutely horrendous and offensive to these amazing songs. And those people are haters because it is so, so, so good.
She's the queen of covers though, because her version of Last Christmas rivals even the original.
Wham-hoo. Is it Wham?
Yeah.
I don't even know because I know Ashley did the song. That's all I care about. And then she even, like, it was so weird because in 2015, she put up on her YouTube channel loads of covers with other Disney stars. There's a cover of X's and O's with Vanessa Hudgens, which is so good. Maybe she's in her, like, cover era rather than her symptoms era. I'm manifesting a fourth album that's a Barnes & Noble collab, given that she's invested so much of her riches into the 400 books for her home recently.
Oh.
She brought Home Digest into her house to tour her library, which apparently until 2 days before they showed up were just blank bookcases. And she's been cancelled over her extra purchasing of books, but she's an investor. She gives back to the community with bops and books.
Well, one book you won't find guilty pleasure is the Guinness World Records, because all in all, the album peaked at number 12 on the US album charts, which isn't that bad when you think about it. But the staying power of the album hasn't lasted, because I have tried to bring it up to multiple girls, gays and theys, and no one gives me a crumb back other than possibly knowing it's all right, it's okay. Most people know He Said, She Said, but I'm yet to find someone who wants to crank it up with me.
So do you think that Guilty Pleasure flopping led to a change in the direction of her career going forward after that?
For sure. This album was actually recorded throughout the rollout of High School Musical 3, wrapping up her career at East High for good, inverted commas. Ashley then immediately went into a typecast role in Hellcats in 2010, where she played a bitchy cheerleader, which wasn't much of a stretch and did end up getting cancelled. Fast forward to 2011, Ashley decides to get fabulous again and goes on Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure, which I admittedly have never seen. I think that's probably sacrilegious.
I have seen it. I remember watching it when it came out. I was already out in Pride by 2011, so no shocks my poor parents for having to watch it with me. But there are no new songs, no original songs for Ashley in this, so I don't think it was a good end to her, and I try and erase it from the Sharpay cinematic universe.
Well, speaking of cinematic universes, Ashley gets announced as the lead role of the lowest grossing Scary Movie film, Scary Movie 5. Another blip in her lucrative career on screen.
I've seen the rest of the Scary movies and I haven't seen 5, which is so bizarre to me. I don't even remember being marketed.
In modern days, obviously we have Symptoms in 2019. Getting us through the pandemic, Ashley was added to the panel of The Masked Dancer.
Is anybody not a dancer at all? I'm not a dancer, but I'm not a dancer. So are you a dancer?
I don't know what gave her the right to be on that panel. Yeah.
What credentials does she have to be a masked dancer?
But she's doing it for the gays. And
it's not a mask dancer.
Not the mask for mask dancer.
Mask for mask dancer. Now Ashley would be a panelist on that.
And finally, in 2021, Miss Tisdale is now a mum. And I hope her daughter, Miss Jupiter Iris French, gets to share in the vivid legacy that her mum has left behind.
All I hope is that Ashley will soon be pregnant with AS4 soon, and it's a bit more like the Guilty Pleasure that we know and love.
Thank you so much for joining us on this kind of oddball choice for episode 3. We really hope that this makes you want to do a little Google search or put the headphones in and have a little bop and party to Guilty Pleasure by Ashley Tisdale. We chose this album as it holds a weirdly special place in our heart, where on one of our first dates, Paul admitted to me that he actually owns the ginormous deluxe edition of this, which he bought in America.
It was very difficult to get across customs. I'll just say that. It literally is, and I'll post a photograph on our socials about it, the entire size of my head to the bottom of my torso. It is massive. And it has I'm Back on it, which if you need ripped, I have in my attic with no aliens. And it also comes with, I would count 15 to 20 posters. I'm not sure if they're the same ones that were given out in the Guilty Pleasure party packs, but...
Not your very, very Ashley lip glosses being thrown away in customs.
They didn't make it through the checks, unfortunately. The sniffer dogs got them before they made it through security. But it is such an iconic piece of my heart. It was $75 back in the day and was worth every cent, I have to say. It did also get £30 custom charges when it was going through, but that's okay. It was worth it for Ashley.
It's a legacy piece. And speaking of legacy pieces, shout out to my dad who ripped me the deluxe Japanese version of Ashley Tisdale's Guilty Pleasure onto a CD and even wrote Guilty Pleasure on the front. Thank you so much, Dad.
Shout out to Pete's dad. He really did form his incredibly queer son and allowed him to live his best life. And I love that.
And shout out to you, our loyal listeners. Thank you so much for listening along. Please make sure you like and follow on our socials at SnapPod. And tune in next week where we'll be listening to something a little bit different. See you next week.